Today's program was brought to you by Copper and Kings, pure copper pot-distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. For more information, visit copperandkings.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And we are, I gotta tell you, this today is a...
For us,
it's very special. For me, it's kind of a bittersweet show today. Our guest today has never really been on this show, but he's been at every single episode of this show. In fact, he's been involved with every single episode of every show on Heritage Radio Network since the very beginning. He's our executive producer. Great friend and a very interesting dude, and I'm really happy to have Jack Inslee from Heritage Radio on the show today.
Listeners of the Speakeasy might know me as Jack behind the glass, who's thirsty to taste whatever Damon's having on the show.
Yeah, that is true.
Usually when you got somebody, you're like, and Jack's looking at us from behind the glass. He's got an empty cup there.
Yeah, like salivating on the other side of the door.
That's me.
Welcome to the show, man.
I'm here, and I have a glass in my hand in the live room.
And you know what?
Here, I finally made it.
Let's start out this way. Cheers,
hey,
man.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers.
Yes.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, man.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's like I said, it's bittersweet because after over 7 years, you are leaving the station to pursue a new station.
Yeah, I'm leaving the state. I'm leaving New York.
I know, but not far. Going to Washington, D.C.
D.C., nation's capital.
Which makes me kind of jealous because I love America so much.
Right? Are you, you know, debatably as American as you can get, right?
I try to be. I try to be that person.
Yeah.
So, okay, man. When Heritage Radio Network started... You came on, I mean, you went to school for...
I went to NYU for music technology. And I was basically making money in a number of different ways.
Questionable ways.
I was doing freelance sound for like short films and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So boom in the shot. That's me for a while. And then my best buddy, Nat, a.k.a. RecTech, he was the program director at WNYU. So he ran the radio station at NYU. And Patrick Martins, who started Heritage Radio.
Started Heritage Foods.
Started Slow Food USA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Big hitter.
The big hitter. And he knew everybody. He contacted WNYU looking for some help because he wanted to start this radio station, like I just said. So he started Slow Food USA. He worked with Carlo Petrini at Slow Food International. Then he started selling the Heritage Turkeys, opening Heritage Foods USA. And Carlo, who did Slow Food International, had... like a pirate radio station, and it was like super communist and crazy, and it was in Italy, and Radio Bra, Red Waves, and Patrick always wanted to do something kind of similar. So he reached out to WNYU. That's how Nat got involved. I was living with Nat, making music with Nat. That's how I got involved. So I remember the first time I met Patrick, he had like a napkin, and we were at the Spotted Pig. Well, the first thing he asked me is if me and Nat were dating. That was the first question.
He's like, none of your business.
Partners. But then you know, he starts drawing it out on the napkin. He's like, it's going to be food radio, and you'll click here, and you'll hear the chefs. And then there's the... I'm like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy.
Crazy. But sure enough, like, it started happening. You know, they, like, put the shipping containers here, and before you know it, they build, you know, this happened.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
And it's been, like, kind of like this... really, like, wildly organic thing, you know, like, with Roberta's and with Heritage Radio and just, like, just building out to do all these things. Like, you guys are, like, Heritage is at, like, Bonnaroo and Coachella and stuff like that. And, like, I mean, you DJ a lot of parties and stuff. And, like, you're constantly around all these really huge events now.
Yeah.
Too. And, which is, it's just, it's incredible how it's grown to such a point. And, like, that's that's you and Patrick, just and Aaron Fairbanks, of course.
Totally. Like, no, it's super organic, man. I mean, like, when he started it, there were two shows here, you know, three shows. And the way that goes is, like, one awesome guest. You were a guest. Like, this is the story of Heritage Radio, right? Like, you go on Patrick's show. He knows you from going to Prime Meats. He's like, hey, come on my show, man. You know a lot about, you're a great bartender. Come talk about cocktails. And then he's like, you should have a show. And then,
you know, it's funny because
here we are.
My buddy Justin McKitty, who started the Brooklyn Food and Beverage Collective, introduced me to a friend of his who was wanting to get in radio. And she was asking me how it happened. And I was just like, you know what? it wasn't really that hard of a thing to get into because of Patrick,
right,
inviting me as a guest on his show. And then, you know, a couple days later, he was like, that's a really good show, man. Do you want your own show? I'm like, yeah, I guess.
And the early days of Heritage was a series of Patrick saying, I offered this person a show. And
totally.
Like, right, some of them landed, right, and some of them didn't. And usually it's my job to, like, follow up and be like, all right, let's see if we can make this into a thing.
But, you know, what's cool about that, too, since you know, like, the majority of the shows on the network are about food and beverage culture.
Oh, yeah.
Cooking, farming, drinks. It's that kind of networking just happens naturally in those worlds. So, like, to have that as a focal point for the shows to come onto the radio station, it just made sense. It was very, like, word of mouth, like,
oh, yeah,
shaking hands, like, inviting people. You know, it's very similar to, like, the restaurant and bar world.
True, of course, I feel like that's how I got in the co-pilot's chair here.
Yeah. Right?
I was on the show a few times. We're friends.
Totally.
We like to talk about shit. So we talk about shit.
Like
on
to drink.
Now you find yourself.
They just drink and talk about shit.
Now you're a radio host. You know, and that's like all the people at Heritage. None of them were media trained professionals who were like, I've got a long career in radio and I'd like to apply for a radio show. Like, nah,
broadcast,
man. We have
journalism.
Real fucking practitioners, like people doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, we'll get there. You'll get better.
Well, that's the difference with, like, just kind of like your standard, like, broadcast journalism and this radio station. It's like everyone who has a show, they're deeply passionate about their subject matter.
Yeah, and their first episode might suck. But
oh,
like,
dude, I haven't listened to this show's early episodes because, I mean, like, I had some great guests. I mean, like, I had Tiki Adam Kolesar, I had Brian Miller.
I think
Miller,
that was the first show, like, actually, maybe.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, like, and as awesome as those people are, I hate listening to the early shows because I really didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And, but what's cool about it is, like, you know, no one was really on the chopping block, you know, because, first of all, we're nonprofit. No one gets paid to do this. And it was like, you know what? Everyone's going to get into it and figure out their way. And
all of us, me included, we all learned as we went, man.
Well,
I
think, like you said about just the radio station as a whole being an organic organism that became what it is, I think each show does the same thing. And I think that's intriguing to the listener.
Yeah.
You know, the listener wants to be a fly on the wall and listen. And they don't want to just hear, you know, us flipping through cards and asking questions and stuff that's, you know,
that'd be
been
awesome.
Answered.
You know what? From now on, we're gonna
get a Rolodex of cards in here.
Yeah, some index cards for.
And you know what's weird? I say weird.
We're not doing
interesting,
that.
Unique about Heritage. If you listen to other podcasts, they're all edited. You know, like, they'll record for 2 hours and then they'll trim it down to this perfect little NPR segment. We're live to tape, man. It's like raw. Really raw, and I think that's cool, and I'm proud of that, and that's something I hope continues here forever because it makes us stand out.
It's certainly what moved my interest in listening to shows on Heritage Radio Network, just being able to, again, be that fly on the wall and know that it's a fully live episode, and things can happen, things get spilled, things get thrown at the window.
Yeah, that's more than once.
Belinda Chang, you probably know Belinda.
Oh, yeah, sure.
She sabered a bottle of champagne or something here, and she's like, it's totally going to be fine. I'm like, no, there's equipment here. She's like, trust me, it's going to be fine. They go for it, and boom, like, that mixing, we had to replace that. It was just a huge mess, and you can hear it on the show, and everybody's like,
everyone's
oh,
kind of gassed.
Shit.
Everything frying.
That's fun, you know?
Yeah,
she replaced all the equipment. Belinda's awesome.
She's fucking wonderful.
She is.
Going back to saying about doing live radio, that's, to me, like, there's no editing, like, especially, when we're talking about the show, these shows on the network, I definitely love, listening to podcasts that are, you know, edited with, like, some cool, like, background music and some weird radio silence and stuff like that, but, like, you know, like, having, like, you know, when we're talking to customers at the restaurants and the bars we work at, there's no editing.
Yes.
There's no chance for editing. It's all live there.
It's
a
nightly live performance.
And I tell people all the time, you know, like, well, when I train a bartender, I'm like, dude, and also, like, for instance, like having like an open kitchen, like at Grand Army, like everyone's on stage. You have to perform professionally. You're on stage, and like, and there's no second chances really for that. So it has been really interesting doing that with this show and listening to the other shows and being a guest on other shows. So what were some of your, like, okay, first of all, let's talk about this. So so when you started the radio station with Patrick, you were from the radio, like the sound music world.
Yeah.
So going into a station where the shows are all about food and beverage, like, how has that affected your life and lifestyle?
I didn't know the first thing about food or beverage. You know, my idea of a great drink was like a handle of Makers. You know, that was like,
that's like,
gonna treat myself and go get the Makers, not the Evan Williams. Out. You know, that was my idea of luxury. Like fast food 3-4 nights a week, dude. You know, Dominican rice and chicken across the street from me. I didn't know anything. And like with Patrick, he's the kind of guy, and this is a testament to him, is like, you know, some people will be like, oh, you don't know, stay in the back. Patrick's like, no, come sit next to me and Alice Waters. And I'm like, fuck, you know? And she's sitting there like, you gotta try these Hen of the Woods mushrooms. And I'm like, I hate mushrooms in my head, but I'm like, I should probably eat these, you know?
Yeah, I should probably
just shut up and like listen. And then you learn, you're like, oh damn, I do like mushrooms.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what's what until you try it, really.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I was never a fan, like, growing up, I was never really a fan of tomatoes. And then I had some heirloom tomatoes, and I was like, holy shit.
I've never actually had tomatoes. I see.
Exactly. I've never had them right.
Yeah, man. I mean, my family, I was, like, the person that got made fun of for ordering chicken parm at every dinner. You know?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with chicken parm.
Nothing at all. But it's funny because now my family, the big joke is like, God, look, like, he'll eat anything now. And I was the picky eater kid, you know, all the way through till I was 20, 21 or whatever.
How many, like, McDonald's filet of fishes have you had in your
life? No filet of fish.
Okay. That wasn't that's, I got to draw the line.
Yeah. No, none of that. But it's crazy. Yeah. It's like, and, you know, I was thinking about this with your show, too. If you're a kid that's like, I want to get into bartending, I want to learn about, you know, spirits and all this stuff, listen to the archive of Speakeasy.
Well, thanks, man.
You know, it's like free school. This whole network is kind of like free food studies, free culinary studies. It's
I agree with that.
You know, put your time in.
There have been some great guests on this show. There have been some great, you know, casual interviews that have revealed gems of information that I go back and listen to all the time myself.
Yeah, Wondrich probably for me was the first dude that came in here talking about drinks that had my head spinning, where you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then it kind of inspires you to do more research and think more about it.
Well, so that to me is interesting. Like, when I think about you starting this radio station and, like, you know, almost 8 years later, like, you've literally been involved with not every show, but every episode of every show. Yeah. So, like, to me, like
what are we going to do without you? This is the big question.
Right? Yeah, seriously, man. I mean, but like that, just like the wealth of knowledge and information you've obtained over all these years and all these shows and these great episodes
is available to everybody else.
It's
though. That's
available
the crazy
to everyone,
thing. Right? Exactly.
But it's all in your dome there.
weird pockets. Yeah, it's strange.
Let's, you know what, man? Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, I'd love to hear about some of the. I'd love to continue on this conversation of some of the real eye openers for you as it's so cool. I'd like to go into this world didn't exist to you.
No, the food
and beverage world didn't even, like, it was never there. It was always there, but not for you. And like, right now, like, you and I are like fucking drinking rosé and eating foie gras and shit, you know?
Right.
Twice a week.
Twice a week.
You do this.
At least.
You've probably got a more broad conversational knowledge of the things that go on in this business than lots of us who are in it just by virtue of having listened to all these shows.
I'll put it this way. I can fake my way around many conversations.
All right. Well, let's get a quick break in, then we'll fake through some more conversations. We'll be back in just a moment with Jack Inslee.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, the executive producer of Heritage Radio Network, also the host of Full Service Radio, and I want to talk to you about brandy. I was lucky enough to visit Louisville, and we all know Kentucky is whiskey territory. However, the best thing I had to drink was brandy. I got to visit Copper and King's Distillery, and they make pure copper pot distilled American brandy aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels, matured with rock and roll. That's right. Sonic aging. They're playing music to the barrels. The stuff is double distilled, non-chill filtered, unadulterated by bois, sugar, or caramel color. And this stuff is feisty, rambunctious, with a long, smooth finish. The stuff isn't made exactly in the style of an international brandy or a cognac. It's more along the lines of an American whiskey. I can really be honest here and tell you, I'm not just reading you an ad, I'm giving you a tip. American brandy, you're not seeing it everywhere. Copper and Kings is doing it incredibly well, and they're cool people. The distillery is full of incredible art. Like I said, they're playing rock and roll to the barrels. So again, Copper and Kings, pure copper, pot distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. That's copperandkings.com. Drink it neat, put it in a cocktail, sub it for your brown spirits, experiment, have fun, get funky. This stuff is awesome.
Oh, yeah. We are back.
That's Copper and Kings brandy. Copperandkings.com.
How many takes did that take?
That was off the dome, man.
Dude, it was real nice.
There was some editing that went into that. Luckily, that stuff actually is good. I've had to, without calling out anybody,
this sounds great.
Some ads that maybe I wasn't so enthusiastic about.
Nature of the business.
Yeah, nature of the business.
So before the break, we were talking with Jack Inslee regarding just the wealth of information out there on Heritage Radio Network throughout all the shows and episodes. And man, like I know, like we've been boys now for a good chunk of our lives, and yeah. I'm really happy that we met and became friends, and we've gone on some food and beverage excursions.
Yes,
some highbrow, some lowbrow, you know, like hanging out in the Florida Keys, you know.
Oh man, nice.
Just chilling real hard. So what I want to know is clearly like. The station and the content of the station and the shows and the episodes has definitely like changed your perspective immensely. What are some of the biggest like memorable like moments in some shows that like really changed kind of like flipped your lid?
Oh, man.
Or also even just changed the direction of Heritage Radio Network in general? Are there any seminal shows that like even single episodes that just turned the ball a little?
I mean, Dave Arnold coming into the network, I think, changed the game, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I fucking love that guy.
There's nobody like him. And that's, like, at a point where I started feeling like, I know about food. I know this stuff. And then Dave Arnold comes in, you're like, I don't know anything.
Right. Back to square one.
And every episode feels like back to square one with him. Dave Arnold's pretty fucking awesome. One of the earliest things I learned was through one of the wine shows. This is, like, a stupid revelation, but... You know, kind of like the difference between a $7 bottle of wine and a $20 bottle of wine is going to be a greater difference than a $20 to a $40 bottle. You know, like that first jump in price.
The first jump, yeah, totally, man.
Really, like, is where the difference lies. Little tips like that.
Dude, I mean,
helping a guy that didn't know too much, you know, and then you get to impress your friends. I mean, like, bringing home Heritage pork chops from Patrick.
Well, that's huge, too.
Huge. And, you know, you have your friends over and you get these Heritage pork chops and you cook them. Your friends are like, damn, you became a good cook, man. And I'm like, no. You
better
know.
Ingredients.
Yeah. That's the big revelation, you know. And I didn't realize it was so ingredient driven, the whole industry kind of. Yeah. You can't really fuck up a Heritage pork chop. I mean, you'd have to try
hard.
Pretty hard, you know.
You know, one of the things, just as a sidebar to that, to me, that alone with like, well, that with Patrick, like, because like, before when I started the show, the offices were on the other corner of this block.
Oh yeah,
in the place across the street. But I remember going to the office and he was just like, dude, how many pork chops you want? Like, he's like, you want some steaks and stuff? And so he sent me home with like a bag full of meat, and I was just like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then and I'll get to this in a second, but another thing was Jimmy.
Oh man.
From Jimmy's 43,
Jimmy Carbone, what a good dude.
With his beer session show, you know, also on this radio station. Just being such a fucking incredible host. He had, you know, hosting a lot of like Heritage meetings and parties at his bar and just being an incredible human being. It all this together, like Patrick and Jimmy and Dave Arnold and like the countless people who've been on the show. It really pushed, like it really like heightened my awareness and drive for like just plain like hospitality.
Yes,
you know, just being a incredible host, you know, like you were saying with Patrick, like going to dinner and like sit between me and Alice Waters,
yep,
and let's all do this together,
yep.
That's why
it's inclusive instead of exclusive. Yeah. I think that's the big difference.
100%.
I don't think the guys from Monsanto and IBP are sitting around having community meetings. You know, they're just counting money.
You don't see them; they're behind closed doors. And that's what the genius of Patrick doing it here at a public space, at a place that's communal by nature. Anyway, like people are coming and hanging out here and having these conversations at Roberta's. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, and we can see them. We're right here. I mean, I think that makes all the difference because so many of these studios in media at large, right? They're usually in some office on the 28th floor and you don't see them.
Right.
You don't, you know, you're not interacting with them.
Yeah.
I think that makes all the difference.
Right. Somehow they're above the community looking down. And, you know, literally reporting.
Right.
But this seems more like you're in the community and you're not reporting, you're talking.
Oh, man.
It's
a
conversation and everybody's welcome.
So many shows back in the day where, like, you're having an interview and you're like, oh, hey, look, it's Tom Mylan from The Meat Hook. Hey, come in, Tom. You know, wait, we were just talking about whatever, butchering. Join in.
Yeah, Steve Schneider from Employees Only just like pops into the studio.
Oh, you got iced a few times.
Yeah, man. I got iced a few times.
One of the things Patrick taught me early on, which I thought was really interesting and ahead of the curve, is like everyone was talking, especially when this kicked off, local, locavore, everybody local, everything. And Patrick is always like, just because it's local doesn't mean it's better, man. You know? Things are, you know, not going to be the best from here.
I absolutely agree with that. I think it's a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, like, you know, growing up, like, in Southwest Oklahoma, you know, like, and this is kind of like one of those things that made me think about, like I thought back on this as far as terroir goes. We grew... When I was closer to the town of Lone Wolf, when we were like kind of on the edge of town, I had a cornfield and I had wheat as well. And then when we went out to our farm, we mostly did wheat. Because even that 2-mile spread from like being in town to out of town, corn didn't grow very well on our fields, like out on north of town. But in town, it did. But like just the base... it's kind of like a basin kind of thing where like there's kind of like a valley between like some plateaus and then like the Wichita Mountains.
Yeah.
So that's like actually it's probably about a mile and a half.
1 mile yeah. difference.
You know. Right. So yeah, I mean, like it can't always be like necessarily better because it's local. But you know what? You know what we did? The community got together and we would share grains, vegetables, greens, because that's what local is about, you know. Yeah.
Community. I think it all comes back to community. Yeah. Like I agree. I don't think that just because it's local makes it better. I think that you know, you want to support local as best you can, but if the product isn't good, then maybe it shouldn't be being made local in the first place.
Right.
They're trying to force a square peg into a round hole from the time they're putting seeds into the ground.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, who was it? Florence Fabricant once was like, I can't tell you how many shitty ketchups I get mailed all the time from these, like, you know, I just invent. She's like, guess what? You're not as good as Heinz.
As Heinz?
You're just not
totally,
as good.
Man. It's that's so true.
Yeah.
And also, I hate to say it, man, especially this being a drink show, but Coca-Cola. I mean, you can't. I know they're huge and whatever, but I mean, they're big for a reason, you know.
You're a monster.
It's you know. the problem with that is like you're trying to recreate something that exists rather than just fucking create your own.
Yeah,
thing,
man. Do something.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, cut your own path, man. Plant your own garden, whatever, you know, start your own radio station.
Yes. Break the rules.
Break some rules, man. And
we definitely broke rules for many years.
Don't break the rules. Write your own fucking rules, you know?
Yeah, it was sad when we came to the realization we couldn't just play any music we wanted. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait.
Licensing?
There's licensing, I guess, we got to deal with. I mean, there was a point where we would just be like, oh, Damon, what do you want for the break song this week? You just... Like,
fucking Thin Lizzy, man.
Yes.
always, man.
But no, back to community then. And, you know, we kind of came to that realization. It's like, all right, well, Damon, does your band want to give us some music? And friends of the station, you have music you want to play? And now it's all original.
Yeah, but the only thing that I miss about those days is that, it was free. Like, very just, like, open to do whatever. But, like, and that's cool, man. Just, like, the freedom of that. But... the coolest thing about that is when the station went over to 501c3, like, nonprofit status, is that, again, it went back to the fucking community, man. So, like there's so many people, like, especially with the Bresnitz Twins, you know, having their show.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, with all the bands that they had come through. The main thing I miss about those days was when you would get on the ones and twos and just, like, spin.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know, because you could. But again, like through the community, there's all this access to all this amazing music, and that's local. And I think that's actually one of those rare situations where local is better.
Oh yeah, man.
I kind of agree with that too. Again, you have a sense of community when you go and see a live band play that's from the community.
Yeah,
like everybody's into it. Everybody's
and like another cool thing, especially for me too, man. With my band being on the radio station, it's like there are no musicians out there that are going to say no to having their stuff played.
Oh, no way, man. We got hundreds and hundreds of songs, and we can tell you something personally about all of them. You know, it's great. And
it's same thing as hospitality. Like, you've touched those tables, you know?
Exactly.
Touched those turntables.
Hey.
So, now you've got 7-ish years of experience doing this here at Heritage Radio Network. And the sad news that I don't think we've mentioned on the air today is that you're leaving.
Yes.
And what is it you plan to do with all this acquired knowledge? What's next for Jack?
Yeah, well, I'm moving to D.C. And going to basically build something pretty similar to this. Not solely focused on food and beverage this time, but a large chunk of the programming will be. And what's cool is that programming comes right back to Heritage. So, you know, we get to say, like, Heritage has a little bit of a sister station in D.C.
Like an outpost.
A little outpost, exactly. So, I mean, because it'd be crazy for me to do, like, Jack's Food Radio, you know, because it's just not, you know.
Crazy awesome.
Sure, but it's Heritage. I mean, man, that's everything, like you said, everything I know about food or anything, anybody I know in the industry, it all comes through this. So it's like, feed it right back to that community. But we'll be doing, obviously, some politics, and it's going to be in a really interesting public space also. In a lobby somewhere to be disclosed, but there'll be, you know, all kinds of a lot more music The visibility to me is like the real key. It's going to also be public facing, where the public can interact. And in my dream world, you know, I hope to open these in all cities across the country, because each one will be its own kind of community. And everyone's like, hey, so who's going to be the host on your radio station? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go to D.C. I'm going to go to the cool places. I'm going to see who's doing cool stuff. And the same way that this started, it's like, meet one cool person, give them a show. They'll have a friend that wants a show. And, you know, it just kind of grows from the ground up like that.
Yeah.
I'll introduce you to my buddy, Derek Brown.
Sweet.
Yeah. He is
Adam Bernbach.
I can't ever remember his actual title, but he tells me his title, and then he follows up with the funny title. So he is the spirits advisor for the National Archives, if I'm not blowing that. But then he'll just laughingly say, I'm the highest ranking bartender in government.
So, yeah, man.
And he lives in D.C., so maybe he'd be a good candidate to at least be on a couple shows. He's a great guy.
It's like terroir for radio, man. I would hope that each like project sounds totally different, like
that's
the place where it is, and, you know,
yeah,
reflective of the
airwar
he lives in.
Airwar. Whoa! Holy shit.
Sick.
Yeah. You heard it here first, folks.
Airwar.
Southern Teague has coined a new term. Yeah. Wow. Dude, that just blew me away. Well, okay, so outside of you going to another town and being bummed about that, I'm also just a little bummed that you're going to have to... There are so many great bars and restaurants in D.C., but I'm bummed that I'm not going to see you as often at mine. So, Souther, I'm proposing that... Let's open a bar in D.C. so Jack can be a regular there.
Down.
Not too just far saying. From something that may already be happening, Mr. Bolte. So we can talk some more off the air.
Well, you know what, man?
It's a quick Acela ride, man.
It's easy. I've been down a few times lately.
It's basically the sixth borough.
Maybe the seventh.
Maybe seventh.
Seventh or eighth.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever. Close enough.
Something like that. It's really exciting, though, man. And this actually never would have happened without you. I'm not going to divulge too much, but, like, this connection I made to do this
so
thing.
So people are going to blame me for you leaving?
That's what I'm saying. File your complaints. No, man, we had a really awesome night at the Cocktail Classic, and that is what led to the things that led to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, another organic maneuver. That's
totally
great. I really like that organic style of growth, that like slow model that generates you know, a real sort of dedicated following. You know, I feel like things that explode really fast, your following is there, but they're gone tomorrow.
Yeah, they fizzle out.
Yeah, but like the dedicated following that you've generated here at Heritage Radio Network is going to go with you.
Yeah,
oh, awesome.
Yeah,
thanks.
It's all about the community, all about your neighbors, and
it
man,
is.
It's. Like I said, it's a bittersweet day for me, man, especially because I fucking love you to death, man. I love you to death, and I'm glad we have been neighbors through all almost 200 episodes of this show. And I
got to interview you, man. That's a fun episode.
That was
Damon's guest didn't show up and is like, fuck it, man, I'll interview you. We got your life story on the show.
Perfect.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm glad to have been able to share this with you, and I'm just all the best of luck.
You got a home in D.C., dude.
That's what I was going to get to. I was going to ask you about that after the show.
Absolutely, and that's part of the fun with this, man. Anytime anybody in this community is traveling in through D.C., there's a home. There's a microphone that's ready to record.
Absolutely, man.
You know?
Dude, I can't thank you enough for being there the whole time, man. And can't wait to see you in D.C. Of course, you'll be checking in. We'll keep everyone, all of our listeners out there, updated on what Jack's up to. And, dude, thanks for being the guest today.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks for building
long
this house.
Long time coming, man. All right, well, let's get a quick cheers in.
Hey,
gentlemen. Glass is up.
Cheers.
Cheers,
gentlemen.
All right, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And
Jack Insley, copperandkings.com.
Best of luck to you.
And
buddy.
A shout out to Aaron Fairbanks and David and Pierre and the entire team. That's something we didn't really get to this time, but, you know, there was a real turning point when Aaron came in, because every clubhouse needs to turn legit at some point,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if Aaron didn't come along, who knows?
be fast.
You know, the development would have been stunted. Let's put it that way. I mean, the ship has never been tighter. It's like, I see the stuff that's going on now. She's got scholarship programs for kids that are telling stories, and, you know, high school kids in the Rockaways and in other, other communities. And I mean, it's really growing rapidly and in great directions. So
it's badass.
It's all good stuff.
I'll just onward and upward, man.
Amen.
All right. Cool. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many of the programs that we mentioned today on this show. And until then,
we'll see you next week.
That's it. Cheers, guys.
Peace.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Salvation.